And a passage from Lent with St. Cuthbert, chapter 9. Inside the monastery, Cuthbert counseled the monks on the religious life and set a high example of it himself. And outside, in the world, he strove to convert people for miles around from their foolish ways to a delight in the promised joys of heaven. Many who had the faith had profaned it by their works, and many, even while the plague was raging around them, had forgotten the mystery conferred on them in baptism, and had fled to idols, as though incantations or amulets or any other kind of diabolical rubbish could possibly avail them. To bring back both kinds of sinners, he often did the rounds of the villages, sometimes on horseback, more often on foot, preaching the way of truth to those who have gone astray.
Cuthbert spent time at three monasteries, Melrose, now in the Scottish borders, Ripon in Yorkshire, and Lindisfarne, the island off the coast of Northumbria. The behaviour described in our little passage could apply to his time at any of them, but is part of Bede's account of Cuthbert's life at Lindisfarne. We heard last week how Cuthbert had to leave Ripon, part of the fickle and unstable ways of the world impacting upon him, but he remained determined to do battle for heaven. Here we see him living out that prior decision. What he wanted to do, it's lovely poetic language, was to convert people for miles around from their foolish ways to a delight in the promised joys of heaven. When we read that and pause there, we might think that Bede is writing of Cuthbert making new converts, bringing people to an entirely new faith. Cuthbert certainly did that, but it's not what Bede is writing about here. His focus is different, and that is why this little passage might matter to us. He's writing of Cuthbert's interactions with those who were already Christian. So many who had the faith, we are told, had profaned it by their works. That's one group. And many, even in the adversity of the plague, which I suppose might have turned believers back to their faith, this other group had fled to idols, as though incantations or amulets or any other kind of diabolical rubbish could possibly avail them. Not for the first time, I'm struck by how alike we are to our ancestors. Faith is a fragile thing. The work of the Holy Spirit within us is so easily tarnished, negated, pushed away by our foolishness, whether profaned by our works, or when we put our faith in idols, that is, in anything other than Jesus Christ. Profaning faith by our works is something that is all too easy. I don't think Cuthbert's concern here was with those who try too hard to please God, as if their salvation depended on it. That is a common mistake, and it's wrong, for salvation is through faith, not works. But acting like that is simply mistaken. It could not really be said to be profaning faith, I think. That phrase means, I think, acting incompatibly with the faith that is professed. This too is rather easy, and we do it, or I do it at any rate. We profess our faith on a Sunday, and if on a Monday we are unloving or ungenerous or mean-spirited, harsh, unfairly critical, lazy or greedy, why then we are profaning our faith. If we misuse our money entrusted to us, we profane our faith. There are any number of areas that we could properly each reflect on. I think Cuthbert would have words for us. This writing is not about dealing with atrocities or things with which we cannot connect. There is plenty of that in Bede's account too. This, I think, is about Cuthbert telling the truth about the ordinary stuff of life. It should cause us to ask this: what in my life runs counter to my professed faith? What might be said using this archaic but clear language, what might be said to profane my faith? Nor are we truly exempt when it comes to the other category, those who turn to idols, that is, in Bede's time, to incantations, amulets, and other diabolical rubbish, as though that could avail them. But I suspect that's a lesser issue among those who have a professed faith today. Common enough in our whole village, yes, but maybe not so much in our congregation of believers. The more pressing issue is how our lives match up to our faith. Does what we do day to day declare our faith, support our faith, flow from our faith, or in truth does it run counter to it? The thing is that tough language is used here, and it is appropriate. Bede talks of, get this, both kinds of sinners. Those whose works profane their faith are, he says, sinners. I suspect at least some of the time that's us. A right assessment of ourselves before God is part of the Christian life, and particularly a feature of Lent. We can thank this writing from almost exactly 1300 years ago for drawing us back to this great truth. Think rightly about ourselves before God, and do so all the time, in everything we do. Cuthbert's remedy for those he came across was to keep on doing the rounds of villages, and as he did so, to preach the way of truth to those who had gone astray. That simple phrase, the way of truth, should catch our eyes. We have the way of truth in Jesus Christ. He is the way of truth because the one who sent him is true, and Jesus is his Son and knows him perfectly. Lent is, as ever, the chance once more to fix our eyes on Jesus, to spend time with him as we do now, to contemplate those ways in which our lives might profane our faith, and to ask him to grant us the strength to follow him more closely each day. Amen.